Now that storm is moving very close to where my house is, so I've got my fingers crossed that nothing goes wrong there. Going back to this John Heyman report that the Pirates are not trading Skeens and they are determined to build around Skeens. The comments being left on this from Pirates fans are just, and baseball fans in general. Padres Burner 69 says, how are you going to build around Skeens with a McDonald's value meal budget? Hey, those value meals are getting more expensive these days.
Remember the old days when you could get a burger there on like one day a week and it was 29 cents? Kids today will not understand that. You get like five burgers for $1.50.
Yeah, those were the glory days. Ump Suck says on Twitter, build around Skeens. All they did was sign fam, laughing my ass off. I feel for their fans. Yep.
Mets bat flip says, Met in 6 years. Probably actually true.
Ian Miller says, Pirates remain determined to build around Skeens is legitimately one of the funniest things I've ever heard on baseball Twitter.
I like this gif from Chimpan Cheese.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's the guy from Jaws from a Bond movie hitting a support beam and getting a building to collapse on him.
That's the guy that was in Happy Gilmore when the ball landed
Richard
on him.
Richard Keel. His name is Richard Keel.
Is he still
Larson.
Kicking?
He is not. He has been dead for a little bit now. The build around Skeens.
Chirpin Sports says, when exactly do they plan to start building? Good question.
Oh, man. There are a lot of people getting off the jokes in the comments. Here.
Black Dick Butkus says maybe the Pirates should sign some real ball players. This team is a joke. Man. Jeez, people are just, they've got the knives out here.
Hold on. I got to see.
ADA says they better build fast 2 more years of this and he won't sign with them for all the money in the world. Well, he would sign for all the money in the world. Actually, maybe he wouldn't. If he didn't think the team was going to be good, just because he's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars wherever he goes. So I think even in that situation, if he felt like the Pirates made the best offer but weren't going to be a good team, he probably would still leave.
Spankster the Gangster says, nah, this one's not as fun. I thought with a name like that, but it's like a very serious, sober breakdown of how long he actually thinks they have to build around him.
Richie Rich 85, be real, they won't build bleep around him.
Scott, bold words for a team whose, quote, build has been stuck in the blueprint phase since the 90s. Man,
yep.
The knives are really out.
I'm telling you, everyone's focused and highlighted that last sentence here with this.
This is what happens, though.
Yep. Some of the names for these people, like... You start a Twitter account? I guess if I was like 14 and sophomoric and juvenile, I would come up with a lot of these names too.
I think I know what your favorite one is there so far.
Ben the Bozo. Did you laugh at the source when they said determined to build around Skeens?
Rabid Wookie. Define determined. They haven't given out a significant free agent contract in over a decade.
Yeah, when was the last one? Ivan Nova?
I guess, or if you count like re-signing Liriano.
People bring up that Ivan Nova deal. What did they give? Remember they signed Daniel Hudson to a multi-year deal? It's like, oh my God, they actually overpaid for somebody. Where I was like, wait a minute. That seemed like it was way more than this setup man who's had mixed results in his career could have possibly gotten for a team. And I'm actually stunned that it was the Pirates that gave him this money. Do you remember that?
I'm looking
Do you know
at
who I'm
him.
Talking about?
He signed a 2-year, $11 million deal with them.
Okay. What year was that?
17-18.
And when did Nova sign?
I thought he was like 16.
I thought he would have been. I think Donnie's right. I think it would have been 16. Ivan Nova right now, 3 years, $26 million, 17, 18, 19.
So they signed around the same time then?
Yeah.
Both going into the 2017 season?
Yeah.
So that's the last, they gave out at least two that year.
On our YouTube comments, JDDDYYY, I guess I have no idea what that actually means, says the city hasn't given the Pirates the permits yet to start building. That's not a bad line.
Well, maybe that's different now that there's a new mayor in town. Maybe that gets things kick-started.
I guess O'Connor's got to win the general, but
you think that's going to be a tough one for him?
I don't think there's been a Republican mayor of Pittsburgh since there were Hoovervilles popping up all over the country. I think it's been since the 1930s.
So why do you even keep going if you're the Republican at this point?
Because like any publicity is good publicity for what you might have like planned later, and you know if you know you're gonna lose, you still might get like a nice job out of it as a lobbyist.
Steve Saab says, build around Skeens. They're off to a great start this year. Excited to see Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier 2.0 next year.
Now, was it Saab like Saab Story or Saab like that car maker that Jerry Seinfeld used to drive?
S-O-B-S. My stepmother had one.
A Saab?
Yep.
I feel like they were very hard to get parts for if they got messed up.
They were.
Good cars, though, from what I understood.
Yeah, there's the... I like that blueprint one that you... I just saw that one, too. Silas, remain determined, my big hairy ass. I like that one.
Is that your burner account? You love saying my big hairy ass.
I do.
I like the GIF ones where it's just like from that 70s show, the mom laughing, or the three guys staring at a computer and they get up and knock their chairs over because they're laughing so hard.
I don't ever tweet out GIFs,
this might be the best one. Kevin Santana, the tools they are using to build around Skeens, it's a bunch of Fisher Price stuff. It's got the little screwdriver. Man, I'll tell you what, Ace loves to get after it with the drill. Mm-hmm. Just putting the drill on like some solid piece of like the, like a little kid's table, and he'll just drill away. He's just
a man that just built a house for Stella. A playhouse.
Oh, like an inside the house playhouse.
Yeah. She had a day off the other day and she did the whole thing.
Do you guys have any of those nuggets for Stella?
Like, oh yeah, they're downstairs. Toys? Yep.
Man,
she turns them into forts and jumps on them and puts her dinosaurs on.
Yeah, Lennox and Ace both love those, but Ace now wants them. Like, I imagine we're doing the 5-alarm marathon. I think there's like a training ground there for like crawling through like tight spaces in houses. That's what he wants.
What's going to go on with that?
Go through them.
What's going to go on with that this year, Don? Are you going to bring the PlayStation 2 again? I hope you do. Get some MVP baseball fired up.
Yeah, I can bring.
God, was Starkey not just so demoralized when old Malzy came in there and started just flexing on
people? Oh, you murdered him, bro.
Well, you got it was one of the few times in my life where everyone was doing their thing, and then here I strutted right in there and just absolutely took everybody in that minivan or whatever. No, that RV to task. Very good.
Are we
day.
Getting the RV back?
No, I think we're good because it's a nice setup. Yeah, it's a very big setup.
The fan of the Pirates want to see your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Presented by Sheets, parents and coaches send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to visit your 12 and under teams today, and the fan might make a stop at your field. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Time for the Hawk Report. Jeff Hathorn, 937thefan.com, was at PNC Park today. Watched the Pirates score only 3-1 runs, but beat the Reds. Final score was 3-1 there. We also have this Jared Jones news, Jeff, where he had surgery today and is going to miss the rest of the year, and who knows how much longer. Let's start there. They're not calling it Tommy John surgery, so what's the difference between what he had and what we usually hear on these types of elbow surgeries?
You know, it's really interesting because you almost assume that it's Tommy John, and they were very, very, very much wanted to point out that it was not Tommy John surgery, that it was an elbow forearm surgery. And the difference that you notice initially is the time back report. Instead of 12 to 15 months, it's 10 to 12 for the surgery that Jared Jones has. Now, no doubt Jared Jones is the type of dude that's going to want to, you know, push the boundaries to get back as soon as possible. But that's a lot better news than initially thought. I mean, if he would be able to get the front end of that return, that would put him in line to be ready near at the start of the season. It might be a little unrealistic, but we'll see how he recovers.
Jeff, when he first was shut down again, I think a lot of people, frankly, because they just observe baseball and know how this story usually ends, sort of, and I'll count myself among them, speculated that this was going to end in surgery, and it has. Why not, you know, maybe consider doing this earlier if this was always where it was going to lead, or if it was likely to lead in this direction?
So ultimately, it's up to the player. The team can't force a player to have surgery. And at the time, Jones wanted to keep that option alive. He wanted to exhaust every possibility of getting on the field and avoiding surgery. And, you know, he was taking some steps, although marginal, he was taking steps towards that. And then he was making, he was throwing some long toss a couple of days ago and just felt it in his elbow. And I think he just became resigned to what was going to have to happen. Now, obviously, if he makes that decision right away, but, you know, again, it's up to the player and you have to get in his head. And in his head, he thought that he was going to be able to beat this and pitch. And unfortunately, that's going to set him back a little longer for next year.
What's the buzz around Paul Skeens now that there's a few days since that complete game that went by the wayside back in Pittsburgh? You guys have the open clubhouse. You see him moving around. You talk to people around the team. What are they saying about Skeens' mental state right now, Jeff?
Actually, it's been pretty good. I mean, it's not that he's obviously happy with what happened there, but he bounces back pretty well. He treats things, dare I say, militarily, in that, you know, you just move on to the next day and you attack the next day. I mean, he's not sulking. He's upbeat. I think of anything this week, the thing that's had him bummed out is it's what happened to his really good buddy, Jared, and not being able to pitch this year. And the finality of, I mean, his locker is gone now at PNC Park. And they are really tight. So I think of anything, that's the thing that's, if it's given him any perspective, I don't know. Well, we're going to talk to him tomorrow before his start on Friday. But it seems to have occupied his thoughts more than what happened Sunday. And then, you know, just seeing this team battle and the way Falter and Heaney pitched over the last couple of days kept the Pirates in the game, and they were able to get enough to get two wins, somehow win a series by scoring five runs in it.
Jeff, John Heyman tweeted 6 hours ago, per a Pirates source, Paul Skeens not getting traded, quote, no chance, no way, no how, end quote. And then he also opined that the Pirates remain determined to build around Skeens. From your perspective, the people you talk to, do you get the sense organizationally that they realize they didn't do a good enough job building around Skeens, or do people there feel like they've just been bitten by bad luck, injury luck, and a bunch of guys having slow starts at the same time? I.e., do you think that still around there, they think they did the right things to build this team?
I think it's more Charrington that will give you the stats and about the, hey, you know, these guys are off to slow starts. And I mean, with some of these guys like Brian Reynolds, historically, this guy is going to bounce out of it because he has been good over a number of years. But I think realistically, amongst people that will tell you off the record, I mean, they didn't do enough. I mean, getting Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham, and not just to pick on those guys, but, you know, and then, you know, grabbing a Canario, which isn't a horrible ad, but it's not Paul Skeens worthy of trying to compete this year. And now we'll see, having learned all of this and seen how this first 2 months of the season has gone, how does that affect them at the deadline, and what do they do next year so they don't end up in the same situation in 2026?
Jeff, why is Tommy Pham still playing?
Well, I mean, today he had two hits and an assist in the outfield. I think he is a placeholder until they find someone else that will play, you know, that will get more opportunities. You've seen Canario make a majority of the starts over the last couple of weeks. I think you will continue to see that as they will minimize that role. And whether he stays in that minimized role, gets more opportunities because of somebody's injury in the future, or gets traded, we'll see. I mean, the history would tell you over the last few years with how many different teams he's played for that Pham will be available at the trade deadline.
Jeff, is he providing, because when he was brought in, part of it was he's a veteran leader, he holds guys accountable. When you're in that clubhouse, do you get any sense that that version or that aspect of Tommy Pham and what he supposedly brings to the table is present?
What I've noticed with him is I think he's wise enough to know that if you're batting under 200, that stuff doesn't carry a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of keeps to himself, is what we've seen. I mean, we're not there all the time, but in the time we're in there, he seems to keep more to himself. I'll say this for the guy, and personally, he can be abrasive from a media standpoint. He is one of the he and Henry Davis are like the first two guys out for every BP. I mean, they do all the drills as hard as anybody and do as more than most people. So, I mean, he is doing that, but I think he's also, like I said, wise enough to not, you know, when Rowdy came over last year and put his arm around Bednar as he's hitting buck 30, I think Pham is more aware than to not do stuff like that.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate the Hawk Report.
Thanks, boys.
Judge Donnie is up next. We'll be debating the tush push. The Steelers voted to ban it today. That vote fell short of enough to ban the play. It survived. It's living to fight another day. It's prompting Bob Pompliani to ask Steelers fans, now that the tush push is back, which current player would be the best to run it? Pat Freiermuth, DK Metcalf, Caleb Johnson, and Darnell Stapleton.
39 years young, Darnell Stapleton.
Darnell Stapleton, who last played for the Steelers in 2008.
He was one and done. He won that Super Bowl with them, and he was done.
He never played for anybody else. Never played another season in the NFL. That was it. What a one and done that is, man. Talk about going out, entering and going out on top.
I thought the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, I thought his quote on the league keeping the tush push was from a fake account like a Ballsack Sports or something like that.
Sports Talk Barry.
But it's actually real, and apparently the NFL is super pissed at him for what he said. Quote, "It is like a wet dream for a teenage boy to create a play that is so successful, the only way for it to be stopped is for it to be banned." He said that today. Could you imagine? Art probably fainted. He was probably aghast when he heard that.
You called it what?
Just thinking back to yesterday's Aaron Hernandez
what
discussion.
Kind of dream?
Did you ever try to make plays in the create a play mode on Madden when they had that introduced into the game?
No, I went with the playbook they assigned me.
I would try to. Here's the problem. I don't think I can relate to the exact analogy Lurie made, but I would try to create those plays and you try to like figure out how to have your guys block. They never worked as well as the game's plays, and I was convinced you couldn't actually draw up a good one. Like the game didn't really want you to figure out how to break it with like well schemed up plays.
Donnie, did you ever get into the new college football game that returned last year? When the news came out, I remember there was initial buzz in this room, like, oh, maybe
isn't it the best-selling sports game ever?
We'll fall back into our old ways and we'll get into sports video games again. But I got to be honest with you, I never played it one time.
I've played it at friends' houses, but I don't have like the system that can hold it up.
I have a
like, my newest one is Xbox One.
I have a PS5 and I didn't buy it. I think I got to buy and I haven't touched the PS5 in months, which is a shame in and of itself. But
when are you going to find the time to do that?
That's the problem.
You're married with two kids and two dogs.
I bought Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PS4 I had, which was a wedding gift from all my buddies to me. It was very nice of them. 1 week before Lennox was born. And ever since, all I can play is Nintendo Switch because that's mindless. You could pick it up, play it for 10 minutes, and then put it back down.
And now you probably can't get that new Grand Theft Auto when it comes out with two little kids in the house.
No, I can't. Dude, I was thinking about that today. I love those games. I'm not like a hardcore
what,
gamer.
What, they're X-rated, Don?
No, because the time requirement.
Like, oh, okay.
Like just the sheer amount of time.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, they
necessary.
Are.
And they are very X-rated.
Yeah, they're normally what, rated mature? Is
there's nudity in it?
Have you never played Grand Theft Auto?
No, I played Grand Theft Auto back in the day.
You can pick up a hooker and take her to a secure
spot. I knew that, but I didn't think she was flashing you when you tried to pick her up.
Already risen. Such good boys you've become.
Good boys.
Jeez,
you
judge.
Really are the...
You're a patronizing Southern judge.
You really are the judge out of To Kill a Mockingbird or something like that.
Yeah, I'm Atticus Finch here.
By the way, before we get into today's case, is it really true that you're not supposed to take a shower during a thunderstorm?
That's what I was always
the way
raised,
you get
yeah,
struck by lightning the easiest?
Because of the water, I guess.
I always thought that was an old wives' tale, but I guess I've never actually done it.
Well, is electricity attracted to water, isn't it? I thought it was, man.
I just grew up having that beaten into me. Not literally, but like over and over again said, don't take a shower when there's a thunderstorm happening.
Is lightning attracted to water? We know it's attracted to tall objects.
And we know it hates rubber because they always say the tires on your car keep you safe.
Well, I think they ground it. They ground your car. Nothing attracts lightning, including metal and water. Lightning is coming a mile or two through the air. So really, you just don't want to be at a high point. Lee Trevino, that's why like on the golf course, if you have your club up in the air, you're obviously more likely. Lee Trevino famously said, during a thunderstorm, I'll hold up a one iron because not even God can hit a one iron. Good line. Starkey would love that line if he had come up with it.
Oh, he'd be big bent pop. Over
Jack
laughing.
Nicklaus was hitting one irons to win the 75 Masters. What the hell's Lee Trevino talking about?
Well, the big one iron he
epic
hit was
one iron shots.
Baltusrol was the big one.
Well, Limits is okay. Baltusrol. He has those wooden clubs.
Can you remember who won the last PGA championship at Baltusrol? He's going to get it, too. He's going to get it, this sick freak.
Ben Hogan?
Well, I know Phil Mickelson won one there. Is he not the latest one?
Jimmy Walker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My man Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker again from Good Times.
All right, what do we got here, Don?
Today's case, boys, the tush push.
All right, Mosey.
I don't know who's
the
on whose side.
Sneak on we got ESPN. Yeah, we got a Rochambeau.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn, Mosey gets to pick.
Mr. Mueller.
Your Honor, I've had a change of heart in recent weeks. I will defend the honor of the tush push and tell you why it should not have been banned by the National Football League. You ready?
Yes.
Of course we are. Thank you, Benedict Arnold.
Thank you, Benedict Mulsey. Thank you, Your Honor. It's always a pleasure to argue cases of sporting significance in your courtroom. I'll be honest. The power of opposing counsel's rhetoric during time off hours here, so to speak, outside of the judge's chambers in this courtroom has convinced me. The Pittsburgh Steelers are, much like many teams in football, identified with toughness. Football itself is identified with toughness and physicality. And what play is more tough and more physical than a quarterback sneak that is augmented by members of the offensive team trying to push the quarterback while the opposing force, the defense, pushes them in the other direction? The tush push might be aesthetically annoying, but it does not comprise every play in a game. There are about 140 plays in your average football game. You might get three tush pushes. Much as I don't like watching it, it's also an incredibly small, an infinitesimal percentage of the plays in any NFL game. Furthermore, the tush push itself is not the thing most people object to. What they object to is the Philadelphia Eagles' ruthless effectiveness in executing the play. Josh Allen, an MVP of the league, failed to execute a quarterback sneak. He's not good at it. He's not good at the tush push. Other teams that try it fail at it. If we're going to outlaw the thing that makes the tush push really great, we need to outlaw Jalen Hurts and or squats because it's his ability to put about 600 pounds up on the squat rack that makes the play so unstoppable. The NFL and the Green Bay Packers as the vessel for this really displayed like a sour grapes tendency here because the Eagles were just so ruthlessly effective at it. Tom Brady converted over 90% of quarterback sneaks in his career. No one has to ban those. I started it. I'm at 150 right now.
Well, he banged the gavel. I didn't bang anything. Sorry, Mulsey.
I go at the moment you start talking.
All right, then it's my bad. I didn't. I was
would you apologize to the venerable judge here, please?
Judge, I apologize. That's my fault.
Thank you. Let's not make a mockery of this courtroom.
Mr. Filippone.
Something you've done on numerous occasions.
All right. Look, it isn't fair to ban it, but we're not here in this courtroom talking about equity and what's fair. This is a league. This is not a government-owned entity. We're not talking about kids in school. We're not even talking about youth baseball leagues in South Fayette. We're talking about the National Football League, which is an entertainment product. So to me, we can argue this, and I will, on the grounds of entertainment. Counselor Mueller said his initial objective to this was, it's a boring play. It's not fun to watch. Honestly, that's a pretty good argument against it. If it's about entertaining your fans, if you know a play is automatic, then you should do something about it. Case in point, the extra point For years, we did it the same way. In fact, we did it since the dawn of the NFL one way. The problem is kickers got too good. So we had to re-examine it and change it. And I know it's one team that's getting it right all the time and not the other 31. But that team happens to be the Super Bowl winner and the team that everybody is trying to knock off this year, which again speaks to the entertainment quotient of this, which is trying to run down and beat the Super Bowl champion from the year before. I also do think, Your Honor, that there is something about this play that I question legality-wise, and that is why it's okay for men that are behind the quarterback on the play to shove him forward. It's one thing to run a conventional quarterback sneak because you have a great line and an athletic quarterback like Hurts, but why are we okay with guys basically being human battering rams who then shove the quarterback forward? I do think there's something wrong with that. That's why I would ban the tush push, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. The league has never really...
Why are you talking right now?
It's second arguments. He
needs to say it's time for final arguments.
I gave him a point.
Thank you.
You gave him a point. Here when is go. This?
I'm starting
around the horn?
I'm starting when I actually
point.
Start
I motioned
here.
My hand, Mr. Filippone.
Hold him in contempt,
Your
Judge.
Honor, people can't see you.
That's actually true. But anyway, I'll start right now. The NFL's grounds for this being banned were never really about legality. It seemed much more they would talk about injuries, and I think they also kind of talked about aesthetics, but I'll go back to the point I foolishly did not leave myself enough time to make. They didn't ban Tom Brady when his success rate on quarterback sneaks. They didn't ban him sneaking the ball when it was well over 90%, I believe, for the entirety of his career. I'll go back to the idea that it just doesn't make good business sense. Even if Counselor Filippone did adopt my argument, much as I have adopted his, that the play is not aesthetically appealing, it doesn't make good business sense to watch a team win a championship and then immediately kneecap one of the plays that wasn't maybe integral, but was kind of a signature cult favorite play from that championship run. Other teams want to defend the tush push better, figure out a way. Too high safety slowed down Patrick Mahomes. Surely the tush push is not an unstoppable play. We don't need a legal intervention, basically, by the NFL to get rid of it.
Mr. Filippone.
Sports has been doing things like this forever. I don't know why Counselor Mueller is dancing and already counting his chickens before they hatch. They didn't say back in 1968, well, Bob Gibson and Denny McClain are unhittable, so it's on you, Willie Mays, to figure out how to get on base against these guys. No, Major League Baseball lowered the mound, something that was a radical idea. Okay, we saw the kickoff rule change because the NFL wanted to be entertained by kickoffs again, and now they've got guys standing 10 yards away from each other, and they stole it from a Mickey Mouse league. So you evolve, you change. You try to entertain the best that you can. At the heart of it, it is a rugby play. It is not a classic football play. I don't care about the injury concerns of it because the league doesn't. They made that argument. They're not in this courtroom right now. It's the three of us. Ban the tush push. I rest my case.
In the case of the tush push, it should not banned by the National Football
League. You were in cahoots with each other the entire time.
You shouldn't have picked paper, my friend. Then you could have had the same argument I made.
So the judge is making up his mind before he even hears the friggin' arguments now?
No, I mean, my argument was better. The great irony of this is that I adopted his stance and arguments to support the case. He then subsequently adopted my main argument to try to argue against me.
Yeah, so?